There's a lot to talk about today. You have to divide the parsha into two parts. How you divide it? Okay, let's get a little bit more fine tuned. Okay, so the first part is Yitro coming to visit Am Yisrael and giving his advice to Moshe. And then the second part of the parsha has to do with Matan Torah, Mamad Har Sinai. Okay, we're going to see that these two different events are most definitely connected. And there are two ways that you can connect two different events in Chumash. Okay, what would the two possible connections be? Why would two events occur one after the other in Chumash? One of two reasons. So one is chronological order, and the other is? Smichut parshiot, which means a thematic connection. Okay, whereas it didn't happen necessarily one after the other, but there's some sort of theme, some sort of idea that the two have in common, or that the two sort of work with each other on, that means that it makes sense for them to be next to each other. This is really, if you want to put it in other terms, this is the machloka between Rashi and the Ramban about... But what's the term? Yesh mukdam mukhar b'Torah, or ein mukdam mukhar b'Torah, right? Rashi says throughout the Chumash, and many other Mephorshim say the same thing, that ein mukdam mukhar b'Torah, right? That events should not be assumed to happen in chronological order, right? So, according to Rashi, when does Yitro come to visit Am Yisrael? After Matan Torah. Why? How does he know?
What?
How does he know?
I'm not sure exactly.
What evidence we see in the beginning of the parsha that it would indicate that Yitro is coming to visit Am Yisrael?
Oh, because he heard what happened.
Well, he hears what happens, but the Torah specifies what he hears. What does he hear? Ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael miMitzrayim. And then later on, he says, ba-ba-ba-ba-bam, pasuk zayin, pasuk chet. ויספר משה לחותנו את כל אשר עשה השם לפרעה ומצרים על אודות ישראל, את כל התלאה אשר מצאתם בדרך ויצילם השם. So, if this was after Matan Torah, what would you expect? What would Moshe have...
That he would tell them. Telling him about the Ma'amad.
Bidiuk. So the fact that Moshe doesn't mention Matan Torah would...
It was before.
Yeah, would indicate that it would be before. Okay, so that's the Ramban's position, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But what evidence would there be in the section about Yitro that this happened after Matan Torah?
Huh?
Oh, lots of people bring korban up before Matan Torah. Okay, so flip ahead to the beginning of Perek. Actually, somewhere in the middle. Let's see. Bum, bum, bum. Pasuk perket yurchet pasuk yud gimel. Vayhi mimacharat vayeshev Moshe lishpot et ha'am. What's Moshe doing? He's judging them. Okay, so what's strange about that?
You can only judge a nation that has rules.
Yeah, there aren't any rules. Yeah. There isn't law. So then how in the world is he judging them? Okay.
But there was already before.
Ah, where?
Let me find out.
Correct. So it in Mara.
Mara, yeah.
Right? In Mara, Sham Samlo Chok Umishpat. Right? So the Ramban has a very nice answer to Rashi, right? And the Ramban who says that this happens in chronological order, he would say that Moshe is applying the laws, the Chok Umishpat, that God already gave Am Yisrael at Mara. Right, in Chazal they say that one of the things that was given to Am Yisrael Mara were dinim. What are dinim?
Laws.
But which kind of laws? Interpersonal laws, right? The laws that adjudicate between, disputing parties about money, that kind of thing. So if that's the case, Sham Samlo Chok Mishpat. So Moshe is now applying the laws he learned at Mara. Okay, so Rashi insists, no, this all happened after Matan Torah. Ramban says no. And this is a machloket across the Torah. Rashi across the Torah says that the only reason why one event happens before or after another is because of smichut parshiot, right? That we can learn something from the conjunction of the two events, right? The Ramban says no. All things being equal, the reason why one event follows another in the Torah is because that's the way it happened. Right. Right? So Ramban assumes
That's how it played out.
The Ramban assumes that Yitro comes, and then after Yitro comes, that's when Matan Torah occurs. Good so far? Yeah? Okay. With the background, I want to now look at the strange events the day after Yitro comes, and I want to think with an open mind about what's happening. So once again, we see that Moshe is sitting b'mishpat, he's shofet b'nei Yisrael. Okay? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Why? Why does it make sense? What's sensible about that, that he's judging Am Yisrael?
He's a leader.
He's a leader. Okay, every nation needs a leader. Right? Every nation has disputes. It makes sense that people are going to come to him for advice. But what doesn't make sense? So look at Pasuk Yud Dalet. So actually, really, the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'yamod ha'am al Moshe mirabokeh ha'arev. The entire nation stands waiting for Moshe to judge them from morning until night. Vayar chotein Moshe et kol asher v'oseh la'am. Vayomer, ma davar hazeh asher ata oseh la'am? Madu ata yoshev v'vadecha v'chol ha'am nitzav alecha min bokeh ha'arev? Why are you making the entire nation stand waiting for your judgment? What's the alternative? Yeah, a hierarchy. Have a system of justice, right? You can be the Supreme Court, right? But there are lots of other, there are lots of levels beneath you. There are lots of cases where you don't need a Moshe Rabbeinu to judge it, right?
Can we go back a little bit? I wanted to ask a question. I was reading, before you came, I will start to read the parasha. And it say here that Yitro is taking Tzipora.
Uh-huh.
After a center, or whatever you call it, divorce or whatever. And he bring two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. And if you go back to chapter 2, Pasuk Kafbet, Vatelet Ben, Vatikra et Shmo Gershom, Kigelaiti Be'eretz Nochriya. And suddenly there is Eliezer. Where does it come from?
Okay, so the story of the sons of Moshe is a Shur Malay, but that's Mo, Ken. Okay. אז אולי אחר כך אני יכול להגיד לך, ברגל אחת,
כן.
אוקיי, בסדר. אוקיי, אז אחר כך. אוקיי. Yeah.
The pasuk that we just read, does that mean that Yisro doesn't know about like Moshe's power? Like he didn't know that he controlled people?
That he's the leader?
Yeah.
No, it seems that he knows that he's the leader. It's pretty obvious that he's the leader because he's sitting there and judging. But what he doesn't understand is, why is Moshe judging alone? Why doesn't he appoint assistants to judge the easier cases? Right? That's exactly what Yisro suggests.
It's a simple task.
Yeah. Right, so Yitro says, and he goes on, he says, Navol tivol, in other words, you're going to fall apart. There's no way you can handle this kind of responsibility. But Moshe's response, Pasuk Tedva, Vayomer Moshe lechotno, Ki yavo elai ha'am, nidrosh Elohim, when the nation comes to seek out God, when they come to me, they ask me for what God wants, and I tell them. And in Chotem Moshe, Yitro says, that's not good. That doesn't work. And he suggests a system of a hierarchy of justice instead. Okay, so here's my question. It's a very simple question. What Yitro suggests and the problem that Yitro observes, they are not rocket science. Okay? It should be pretty obvious to anyone that a system where the entire nation has to wait in line to speak to Moshe is not going to work. So here's my question. Why doesn't Moshe realize the problem? Why does he need an outsider, a non-Jew? Why does he need someone from outside to come along and say, this is a ridiculous system? Why don't you set up other judges? Why doesn't Moshe realize that himself? Okay? Yeah?
I think he does realize that, but the fact is, I don't think you can appoint other judges when really only he knows the will of God. And he also...
He can't teach other people?
When he has, you suggest that. When they haven't gone to the Torah, I don't think he can teach people how to apply it. Yeah.
Well, he's received Choku Mishpat and Mara. That's what he's applying here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Is the question why didn't Moshe need a goy to tell him what he was doing was wrong?
Not necessarily why he needed a non-Jew, but like why did he need anyone to point it out to him? Why wasn't this glaringly obvious? Yeah.
Well,
could have been possible that Moshe had, like, since he was very willing to take upon him, Yitro said, I mean, we see Moshe is just really, like, very passive when it comes to, like, kicking, like, you know, B'nai Yisrael around. And I think it goes okay. Part of with that they have not really affirmed themselves as, like, as the nation until Matan, really as Matan, until Matan Torah, they're not really, like,
okay.
Complete, and like, in order to, for it to, like, really start to realize that they need to come together as a nation, they need someone who, from the outside.
Okay, you're saying something very important. You're saying that Moshe, in terms of the way he views himself as a leader, and the way he views his relationship to Am Yisrael, it's not so clear in his mind. Right? And I think that that's definitely a very important direction to go in, which is maybe sometimes we don't realize something about problems in the way we interact with other people because there's a blurry definition of who we are and what our role is supposed to be. Right? In other words, when you're a beginning teacher, for example, the biggest problems for a starting out teacher are when they're not sure what their role is supposed to be. Right? They don't. Am I supposed to put my foot down about the situation? Am I supposed to joke around with my students? Am I not supposed to? Right? In other words, when a teacher isn't sure who they are, then they don't know how to deal with other people properly. Right? So we're going to see that part of what's going on here is that Moshe's definition of who he's supposed to be here hasn't yet been fully formed.
Yeah, also Moshe sees himself the connection between God and Am Yisrael. So, you know, he sees through a narrow path.
Yeah.
He's the pipe, you know, he's the pipe. So he doesn't realize, so somebody, outsider, sees something that you can't see, you know, like, the horse is leading himself this
correct.
Way.
The right.
driver is
right.
leading him.
Yeah.
So somebody, outsider, come, see the problem from a bigger point of view. And
so what you're saying is, I think, very important. Later on in Sefer Bamidbar, when Yitro wants to leave Am Yisrael, so Moshe begs him to stay, and
yeah.
he says, "Al kein hayita lanu la'inayim."
Yeah.
You were eyes for us.
Yeah.
In other words, that having an outsider sometimes brings a fresh perspective that you couldn't have on your own. So yeah, that's definitely part of Yitro's role. Okay, so here we go. So now we're going to move on to part two, which is Ma'amad Har Sinai, and we're going to see. Once we've understood what happens in Ma'amad Har Sinai, we'll come back to Yitro, and we'll see what's off about the way Moshe thinks about himself that prevents him from realizing the problem of the way he's judging. Okay. So, they get to Har Sinai after leaving Rephidim. So in Perek Yotet, Pasuk Gimel, Moshe Allah, El HaElohim, Vayikra Elav Hashem Min Ahar Lemor, Ko Tomar Levet Yaakov, Etageh Livnei Israel. So God calls out to Moshe from the mountain, and he said, "This is what you should tell Am Yisrael. Atem ri'item asher asiti mitzrayim esadchem al kanfei neshem v'avi etchem elai. You saw everything I did for you, v'ata. And now here's the deal. This is the deal. Im shamoa tishmu b'koli, if you listen to my voice and pay close attention to the words that Hashem uses and the words that Moshe uses, you'll see something interesting here. Im shamoa tishmu b'koli, if you listen to my voice, u'shmartem et briti v'item li skula mikol ha'amim, you will be my treasured nation. Kili kol ha'aretz v'atem tiuli mamlechet konim ve'bigoy kedosh. Okay, you will be a nation of priests. Are we a nation of priests right now?
No.
Not exactly, right? Words, right. We have some konim, but we have lots of people who are head yotah, we're Yisraeli, right? In words, according to one approach in the Mefarshim, this vision didn't come true. Why not? According to the Sforno, this approach didn't come true because of the Egel HaZahav. We did not become a Mamlecha Kohanim, right? We became a Mamlecha with some Kohanim. Okay? That's a whole other shir. We'll get to that in Parshas Ki Tisa. We'll discuss that more in depth.
When you say the word Kohanim on the world.
Oh, so that's another approach. Okay. So God says, tell Am Yisrael these words, Eile hadvarim asher tedaber al b'nei Yisrael. Pasuk zayin, v'yavo Moshe v'yikra l'ziknei ha'am v'yasam lifnehem et kol hadvarim ha'eile asher tzivah Hashem. Moshe is a good servant. He does exactly what God tells him to do. So far, so good? That's Pasuk zayin. Pasuk chet. V'yanu kol ha'am yachda v'yamru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. The nation says, in unison, everything that God has just said, we will do. The end of the pasuk, Vayashev Moshe et divrei ha'am el Hashem. What's strange about that?
You have to go up and down, no?
So Moshe, it seems like Moshe is going up and down. Yeah, and why is that strange? Ma muzar? Lamut tzarich lashiv divrei ha'am. Hashem can hear, right? So why does Moshe feel he has to tell God what Am Yisrael said? Very strange. Well, not yet. We'll see that soon.
Turns on the mic soon.
Right. Okay. Up until now, God has been speaking just to Moshe, and Moshe relays what God said to Am Yisrael. But why would Moshe have to relay back what Am Yisrael said to God? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hine Anochi Ba'ilecha Ba'av Ha'anan. I'm going to come in the cloud of glory. And here, pay close attention. Bavur Yishma Ha'am Bedabri Imach. So the nation will hear as I speak to you. Why? V'gam becha ya'aminu le'olam. What does that mean? Why will they believe in Moshe because they overhear this conversation?
Someone's telling you that he's been talking with God for
a long time. Okay, right. There's a natural, healthy skepticism that people have. Oh yeah, you've been talking to God? Really? Right? But when they overhear an actual conversation between Hashem and Moshe, nothing to doubt anymore. They heard it. Right? Yeah. So in other words, God is saying to Moshe, the microphone is on now. Right? I think it was 2 years ago, there was this horribly embarrassing situation with Obama.
Yeah.
Right? When Obama was talking to Sarkozy, the Prime Minister of France, and they were both bashing Netanyahu. Right? And they didn't realize the microphone was on. And all the reporters in the room were like writing down everything they were saying. So it's very considerate to tell someone, by the way, the microphone is on. Whatever you're saying, everyone's going to hear right now. So Hashem is telling Moshe, the mic is on. The mic is on. And what's Moshe's response to that? The end of Pasuk 10. Very, very strange. Vayaged Moshe et divrei ha'am el Hashem.
What does it say?
So what did Am Yisrael say? What's he repeating? First of all, what's strange is that he already told God. So now, not only does he think that God is hard of hearing, he thinks that God has amnesia also. He forgets. Like, what's going on? He just told God what Am Yisrael said. And God says, by the way, the microphone's on so that they'll believe in you forever. And Moshe says, oh, by the way, this is what Am Yisrael said. What's going on here? So pay close attention to what Moshe is telling Hashem. What did Am Yisrael say?
Kol Hashem diber Hashem naaseh.
Kol Hashem diber Hashem naaseh. So why do you think Moshe, at this point, is telling Hashem what Am Yisrael said?
Because they're just going to say that again.
Huh?
They're just gonna say that again. What they said is true. Like whatever Hashem says, they'll do.
So Hashem didn't get that the first time. Hashem was like slow. Like
maybe telling him that the time is come for the Ma'amad.
But he already told him, and he told him that 5 minutes ago. Like it's
maybe.
So what I want to suggest is that there's a little bit of a debate going on between Hashem and Moshe right here. Okay. And Moshe sees something very significant in what Am Yisrael said that he thinks God is ignoring. And because of that, he's emphasizing what they said again. Okay, we'll come back to what it is. We'll come back to what that debate is in a second. Okay, but I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. There's a little bit of a disagreement here between Hashem and Moshe.
Right, but isn't the disagreement happening in Israel's reacting?
They know the facts. The question is how to interpret the facts.
Right.
Okay? All right. So that's stage two. Now we're on to stage three. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Hashem o Moshe. God gives Moshe a commandment. Now when God gives Moshe a commandment, what do we expect Moshe to do?
To
follow the commandment. Now we expect that. But whenever you're reading anything, you should test your expectations against reality. Okay, let's read what God commands Moshe, and then ask ourselves, what does Moshe actually do? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, lech el ha'am, v'kidashtam hayom v'achar, v'chipsu simotam, tell the nation to prepare today and tomorrow. They should wash their clothing. They'll be ready for the third day. And you shall cause the nation to create a boundary around the mountain. Everyone has to be extremely cautious not to touch the side of the mountain. Anyone who touches the mountain will die. And then Hashem goes on in Pasuk Yud Gimel, another Pasuk, stressing this idea. Wait, what? Okay, is that clear? So let's make a list here. What are the things that God tells Moshe to inform Am Yisrael?
Prepare.
Right?
Wash
clothes.
And form a boundary on the mountain.
And form a boundary on the mountain because of the threat of death if you touch it.
Yeah, because he wants them to sanctify themselves on the mountain.
Yeah, I was
going to ask, what's strange about
that? Why is there the whole idea that they're going to die if they touch the mountain? Isn't that kind of like,
I don't know, maybe he's separating...
You can't like touch the
same thing.
Separating the
good from the bad. So saying if you touch the mountain, you're
too holy.
Don't touch the mountain.
So this is you know, going to be manifest later on in Jewish history as the Kodesh Kodashim. Okay, in other words, there are different levels of Kedusha, there are different levels of the encounter with Hashem. Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Hashem says that no man can see me and live. And they're different, you know, the same way that if you take an American alarm clock and you plug it into an Israeli socket,
yep.
What happens?
It dies.
Pretty cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's all? Oh, I've seen like big, like fireballs. Like,
thank God mine
yeah.
didn't explode.
Yeah, so, right, so in other words, if a person is not ready and they enter a high voltage area, that's it. Okay? So it makes sense on some level that Hashem is making a differentiation. Am Yisrael will witness Matan Torah, but from a distance. Okay? Is the mission clear? Hashem has told Moshe exactly what to do, right? Now let's read what Moshe does. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayei Moshe min ahar la'am, vaykadesh et ha'am, vaykhabsusim lotam. Vayomer la'am, hayu nechonim lishloshet yamim, al tikshu Elisha.
Give them the message of God.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the major message, the most important message. Hagbel etam saviv, right? Make a boundary on the mountain. He doesn't say it. And the warning. Like imagine like putting like a cup of poison, that clear poison on the table, and you know you're supposed to. Your job is like to warn people. It's not water. That's poison. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. Right. Hashem says, they touch the mountain, they're going to die. And Moshe neglects it. Now some of the Mefarshim say, oh, obviously Moshe told them. Just the Torah doesn't want to waste space. It doesn't tell us everything he said. What's strange about that?
So the other things.
Yeah, in other words, it's quoting everything else he said, so why wouldn't it quote that also?
Why did he add about
so some people say that's the definition of Lekadesh L'Shosha Yemi. In other words, that he just explained what that means.
Maybe that's what it means, set boundaries. Instead of physical boundaries around the heart, maybe it's set a boundary. Like,
I mean, God says if you touch the mountain, you're going to die. Like that's important information.
But maybe it's
that?
Like...
A woman is a mountain.
Yeah.
A woman is a mountain.
Maybe the woman is
that
a
could
mountain.
Be a poem,
yeah.
But it's not it's not pshat.
Like, I don't know.
I mean, God goes on and on. Like in Pasuk Gedalot, he says, you know, I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he says that even animals will die if they touch the mountain. So it's striking. Moshe just doesn't do what God told him to do.
You don't want to turn them off.
Huh?
You don't want to turn them off.
You know, I'm not into turning people off either, but if it's a matter of life and death, I will. Okay? And you should know you can trust me to do that. Okay?
Maybe,
all right. Yeah.
Maybe the last words. Artikshu Elisha. Ulai lo Isha as a woman, Elisha as a fire? Esh?
Yachol liot, aber ze lo pshuto shel mikra. Ze lo pshuto shel mikra. Ze Isha zot Isha. Isha zot Isha. Okay. So let's find out. So, and we'll see that at least one major commentary agrees with my reading. God. Okay? So what happens? Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayihi Bayom HaShlishi, Biyot HaBoker, Kolotu Vrakim, Anan Kaved, in other words, all the special effects, the thunder, the lightning, the cloud, the Kol Shofar Chazak Me'od, the earthquakes. Pasuk Yud Zayin, get this. Vayotze Moshe et Ha'am Likrat Ha'Elohim. Not only does he not tell them to stay away from the mountain, what does he do? He brings it out.
Oh, yeah.
Test them. No. But Yatzru B'Tachti, he stands them up right there at the base of the mountain. There's no barbed wire fence. There are no signs warning minefield. He hasn't warned them, and they're standing right there, a few inches away from a certain death. That Hashem is dwelling now on the top of the mountain, and there's a kol shofar. And get this, pasuk chaf, vayered Hashem al Har Sinai al Rosh Ahar, vayikra Hashem Moshe al Rosh Ahar, vayam Moshe. God calls out and says to Moshe, "Come to the top of the mountain." And Moshe comes to the top of the mountain. Stop looking for a second. Don't look. What's about to happen? What's going to happen right now?
The microphone.
Huh?
The microphone, no?
Yeah, and what's going to happen with the microphone?
The
Dibrot.
The
Dibrot?
Oh, the conversation of God and Moshe.
Okay, so until I read this carefully, I remember what Avi remembers, right? Oh, yeah, Moshe was on the mountain. He gets the Aseret HaDibrot, so he comes back down. No. Let's read carefully. So God calls Moshe to the top of the mountain. He goes all the way to the top of the mountain, and what does God say? Chaf Aleph? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, raid, go back down. Ha'eba'am, pen yersu el Hashem mirot. Testify to the people, lest they burst forth in order to see me. V'nafal men and rav, and many people will die. God called them all the way to the top of the mountain to do what?
To tell them
to do what I told you to do. You didn't finish your mission.
Now you realize that he didn't tell them not to get close to
the mountain. Right, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
No. Yeah. It's very clear. Yeah. Okay. Now get this. Moshe does not take this sitting down. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayomer Moshe Hashem. Lo yuchal ha'am la'alot el Har Sinai. The nation's not going to touch Har Sinai. Ki ata ha'edot banu lemor, hagbel ata har v'kidashta. Because you tested, what, you want me to tell them? You told them. What did God tell them?
The next thing was already on?
Yeah, who did he tell?
Moshe.
So, wasn't Moshe clear about that? Didn't Moshe know that God was talking to him and his job was to tell the people? Why does he think, Ata ha'idota, you testified?
The microphone was already on.
The microphone was already on. Moshe is saying to God, what are you talking about? You think they're going to touch the mountain? They heard your voice. They heard God's voice saying that anyone who touches the mountain will die. You think they're going to touch the mountain?
Moshe put the microphone on God?
No, God says. God says that Am Yisrael will hear bidabri imach. Right? Am Yisrael will hear when I speak to you. Okay? The microphone's on. And then God says to Moshe, go tell him Israel what I just said. So Moshe's like, why in the world would they need to hear from me if they heard your voice saying that they're going to die? You follow?
So then why did Moshe say the other things?
So the other things he gave a little bit of interpretation to. In other words, they heard God's voice, but they might not have known what does it mean, the kidashtan.
Right.
Right? So kidashtan means lo tikshu elisha. In other words, he gave a little of a perush of what that means. So the things that were obvious, obviously, death means death. If you touch the mountain, you'll die. That's obvious. I don't have to explain that. Is what Moshe is saying sensible?
Yes.
Is God insisting that he tell them anyway sensible?
Yeah. To remind them.
To remind? They heard God say, if you touch the mountain, you'll die.
God told me.
Right?
Just to make it stronger. Vegam v'chaya aminu le'olam.
Meaning what?
They hear, but he want them, God want him to know, to tell them, they heard me, but I want you to let them know that they heard me,
As Maza Yosef, what's that going to add? Whereas for Moshe to repeat what God said. Just strange. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo chaser samchut. Lamu tzarich ha'izra shel Moshe.
Latet kavod le Moshe.
Ah, okay. So it could be, what?
Be affirm his leadership.
Okay. So what Hashem wants right now is for Moshe to step into a certain position. Okay?
That's how he didn't know his identity.
Correct, yeah. So we're going to come back and play this out in a second. Right? What Hashem is trying to get to happen is for Moshe to begin to play the role of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay?
So it was really a test from God to Moshe, not God to Israel.
Okay, yeah. Okay? So Moshe doesn't understand. Why do you want me to tell them something they already heard from you? What's God's response? Pasuk Chavdalet. Vayomei lav Hashem, lech, rei. Go down. I told you to go down. Go down. Go down to the bottom of the mountain. Da'alita atav aron imach v'konim v'am al yehersu l'alot al Hashem penifrat ba. Right? Go down and make it clear. Vayered Moshe la'am vayomer aleihem. So Moshe went down to the bottom of the mountain and he said to them. Now what did he say to them? Likely he said to them what God told him to say to them. What's interesting is that right after this begins the Aseret HaDibrot, there's a decent chance that Moshe was not at the top of the mountain when God gave the Aseret HaDibrot.
He was down with
the Bnei Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. So now that we've read this once, let's now put together the pieces. Okay, one second. Let's go back to that strange situation where Moshe repeated to Hashem what Am Yisrael said. Okay, so let's go back. In a Perek Yotet, Pasuk Chet. Okay, Vayanu kol ha'am yachda v'yomru kol asher diber Hashem naseh v'yashem Moshe diber ha'am el Hashem. And then God says to Moshe, I'm going to speak to you bavur yishma ha'am b'dabri imach v'gam b'chai yaminu le'olam. And what does Moshe say? V'gam Moshe diber ha'am el Hashem. So what did Am Yisrael say that Moshe thought was so significant? But specifically, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naseh.
Not Moshe.
Moshe is saying to God. God says to Moshe, Gam Becha Yaminu Le'olam. Moshe is saying, what are you talking about? They don't need me. The nation just said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naseh. The nation just said that we want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear Kol Asher Diber Hashem. They don't want to hear my voice. You see, when Moshe repeats what Am Yisrael said, what he's saying to God is, I don't need the microphone on. I don't need them to hear me. I don't want this position. I don't want to be the intermediary between you. The nation's ready for you. That's what they want.
So he's adding himself. Or like,
huh?
He's just not thinking of himself as great compared to God. It's greater when it comes out of God's mouth instead of Moshe's mouth.
Right. It was partially the way he views himself, and it's partially the way he views the nation. If they're going to be a Mamlechet Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, so in Moshe's mind, every single Jew will be able to talk to God himself. Right? What, you don't need an intermediary if everyone has a direct pipeline to God. If they're a Mlechet Kohanim, Goy Kadosh, then my job is totally obsolete. There's no need for me. Right? And that's what Moshe is saying to God. V'yaged Moshe divrei ha'am el Hashem, kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Right? I'm totally useless here. God insists, no, the microphone's on. So Moshe hears the microphone's on. That's great. Why is that great? Because it means that Am Yisrael, everyone's hearing Dvar Hashem. Everyone's hearing God's voice directly. Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. Right?
Also, they realize that Moshe is a humble guy.
Okay, that's true. So they see that. But what, from Moshe's perspective, the best thing about that is that he doesn't have to be useful. He doesn't have to do anything. Right? he can really, in other words, the whole time, Moshe never wanted this job to begin with, right? So, especially now, okay, fine, so now I got Am Yisrael to Har Sinai, right? Originally, Moshe thought that his job would be over as soon as they got across the Yam Suf. Okay, fine, it took a few more weeks. They finally get to Har Sinai. Now I can retire. Now Am Yisrael, the Melech HaKonim, Goy Kadosh. Everyone gets their instructions directly from God. The end. And meanwhile, Moshe, Hashem is doing everything he can to create Moshe as a leader. And Moshe, the whole time, is thinking, now I'm retiring.
No, it's only the beginning.
From Hashem's perspective.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. So that battle of Moshe going up to the top of the mountain and God saying, Lech Reid, go down and tell them, this is God insisting. I don't care whether you want this job or not. I don't care whether you think that Am Yisrael are the holiest people. Your job is to Moshe Rabbeinu. Your job is to convey the word of God to Am Yisrael.
You're the best man for the job and you're taking it.
Not just you're the best man, but this is Moshe doesn't even agree there should be a job. Right? So what Hashem is creating here is one of the unique things about Judaism, which is that we encounter Dvar Hashem through human voices. Okay? In other words, Torah Shebaal Peh is conveyed as a Mesorah from one generation of humans to another. And that's the way Hashem wants it to be. Hashem wants Torah Shebaal Peh to be conveyed by people. Right? And it's at that very first moment, at the very first moment that Am Yisrael hears God's voice, God says, that's not enough. It's not enough they hear my voice, they need to hear the voice of a Rebbe. They need to hear the voice of a being who is one step closer to the connection to Ma'amad Har Sinai than you are, who's going to pass it down to you. It has to start from the very beginning. If it starts later on, people will say, oh, that's only B'di'evet. That's only because we don't have Har Sinai right now. No, Hashem is saying that this is ideal. This is the way things should be. Is that a participation of humans in the experience of revelation, that's part of the nature of Torah itself. Okay?
It's an example of Be'en Adam L'Chaveiro.
How so?
To Moshe communicating with people.
Okay, right. In other words,
it's a teacher-student relationship.
Okay, correct. In other words, that from the very beginning, the giving of the Torah is part of a communion of human beings, teacher to student, student to their students, and onwards.
But I don't understand. So, if God could convey to them, humans would convey to them. Like, God's a better option here.
Okay, so if Judaism was about a one-time revelation, that would be true. But Judaism is about an ongoing revelation. It's about an ongoing encounter with Torah that happens whenever a Rebbe and a student learn.
No, I understand that, but it seems like Moshe is saying there shouldn't be a job. Like, Israel should have a constant relationship with God.
Okay, correct. So what you're pointing out is that God is also being much more of a realist than Moshe. Moshe is an optimist. He sees Am Yisrael as, you know, infinite potential. Hashem knows that they are not capable of maintaining a constant prophecy, a constant level of nevuah on their own. Maybe Bimot Mashiach will have that, but right now, right, Hashem is aware that Am Yisrael are not all on the same level. Okay? So Hashem recognizes the need for there to be human teachers as part of this process. Okay, rewinding back to the beginning of the Parsha, so now we might understand more why Moshe doesn't think about setting up a justice system. Because the whole idea of people needing other people to tell them what Hashem wants makes no sense to him. He's like totally caught off guard. When people like start lining up to ask him questions, he's like, why are they here? Like, what are they doing? I guess they're asking me questions? Okay, fine. Maybe the telephone lines are temporarily down. Okay, fine. The network is busy right now, so I have to tell them. Right? But, you know, within a few days, we get to Har Sinai, so then the network will be back up, you know, standing, and Am Yisrael will be able to talk to God. In other words, to set up a long-term system where some people know more Torah than other people, and some people know more about Ratzon Hashem than other people, that makes no sense to him.
Is that the moment that could be that the message is Aselech Harav?
I mean, that's in many ways the message of the whole story, yeah, including our scenario. Right. So this is really the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the beginning of the system of the human involvement in Hashem's revelation. And this debate between Moshe and Hashem is exactly what epitomizes that. Just to sort of start looking forward, so we see throughout the Torah that Moshe constantly has this agenda of sort of stepping out of the spotlight and letting other people, letting as many people as possible play that role of being the Kohanim, being the ones who come close to Hashem. So, can anyone think of any more examples of the Torah? Situations where Moshe wants, he's delighted when other people sort of step in and... Okay, so he's happy for Yahshua to take over. I would also say, the story of Eldad and Medad? Right, so what happens there? So Moshe says, I can't do this anymore by myself. God appoints 70 Nevi'im to tap into his Nevuah. Eldad and Medad, they practice prophecy without a license, right? They were not chosen, and nonetheless they have Nevuah also. Yahshua says, Adoni Kla'im, arrest them. They're practicing prophecy without a license. And Moshe's response is, Halavai, I wish that every Jew would have Nevuah. Right? In other words, this is his constant agenda, is that every Jew should have Nevuah. Yeah.
I also see something that can make stronger that the Yitro was before the Ma'amad, because now it's Moshe is ready to give up, like he's giving the God the option to, like as you say, you want to get rid of the duty of a leader, kind of. You want to retire.
Right.
After you throw, also give him an advice, you can give other people to...
Right, okay, right, yeah. It was now that everyone else is included, so that it makes sense that...
No, it's too heavy on him now. He can relax a little bit.
Right, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You brought up those examples, that means that Moshe did develop a system. He did take the advice.
I mean, he has no choice. God insists on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Because that would be, against the stuff that we do today, Moshe's theory.
Yeah.
Like going to rabbis for questions.
Correct. Right.
So it's helpful.
Right. Okay.
Kind of off topic, but why, in this case of the microphone, why are the Jews scared of Hashem's talking to them as they are?
Why aren't they, or why are they?
Why aren't they?
So that original speaking was before the earthquakes and the lightning and the thunder. Because it might have been a very different kind of presentation.
So Hashem just talked.
And it's also them overhearing God speaking to Moshe, not God speaking to them. Okay, it was in Esther and Deborah. Hashem says, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha." He's speaking to Am Yisrael. So see here, he's speaking to Moshe. They're just overhearing, with much less intense experience. It's like when you're, at a comedy show and the comedian is picking on someone else in the crowd versus when he turns to you and starts breaking on you, right? Very different experience. Okay. Shabbat.